This is special programming on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Tonight, we'll hear the latest from Butte and Shasta County public health officials who both had press briefings earlier this morning, and we'll hear from Kim McCoy-Wade, the director of California's Department of Aging, about how seniors can protect themselves during this pandemic. We do want to hear from you. We've set up a number where you can call and leave your story. That number is 530-433-9216. You can also reach us at mynspr.org. For Thursday, March 19th, 2020, this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. First, some news.
For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert. Along with much of the nation, an eerie quiet hangs over the North State as commerce grinds to a halt and uneasy residents hide out at home. Officially, at least, there are no signs of a North State outbreak. No new cases have been reported in any of the northern counties. But with an incubation period between 2 days and 2 weeks and the severity of cases varying widely, the absence of officially confirmed cases may not rule out the virus's presence locally. Statewide, the number of cases continues rising. According to the most recent figures, 675 positive cases have been confirmed in California as of Wednesday evening. That's 77 more cases than were reported Tuesday, and 203 more than Monday. The number of California deaths rose to 16 as of yesterday evening, up 3 deaths from Tuesday. Samples from 16,900 suspected California patients have been collected since the outbreak began. Officials are awaiting results from more than 10,000 of those tests. Governor Gavin Newsom has requested President Trump immediately deploy the U.S. Navy's hospital ship Mercy to the port of Los Angeles to help treat an expected surge in patients. In other news related to the virus, this year's state income tax filing deadline was postponed 3 months to July 15th for all filers, including businesses. Courts in Butte County announced all jury trials in criminal court scheduled to begin between Monday and April 22nd will be rescheduled. Shasta County canceled grand jury meetings scheduled for the 25th and 30th. Additionally, the sheriff's office has temporarily ceased processing new concealed carry permits for firearms, all fingerprinting services, and requests for crime reports until at least the 31st. A showdown in a major Redding land use battle has also been put off due to the crisis. Officials will postpone a hearing on plans to relocate and expand Costco's location that has been set for Tuesday. Tuesday's meeting of the Butte County Board of Supervisors will proceed, but the public will be barred. Comments about items on the agenda can be shared with the board by emailing the board's clerk or using the e-comment feature on the board's online agenda. All behind-the-wheel driving tests have been canceled by the Department of Motor Vehicles through April 18th. DMV will contact those with appointments to reschedule. The DMV is now requiring appointments for in-person visits and has suspended extended and Saturday hours until further notice. Spring commencement at California State University Chico has been postponed. A new date wasn't announced. Information about refunds for renting regalia for the event is available on the CSU Chico commencement webpage. The Museum of Northern California Art and the Chico Art Center announced they have closed until further notice. AAA announced it has closed all offices, though towing remains available, and the Shasta Dam Visitor Center was ordered closed to the public until further notice. All tours are also canceled. For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert.
This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Earlier today, the Butte County Public Health Department held a press conference discussing the county's current situation and ways in which it's preparing for the coronavirus pandemic to hit. Representatives of multiple agencies spoke. They asked the public to cooperate with local orders, provided multiple resources for residents to stay connected with official updates, and also laid out what testing in the county will look like in the future. Butte County Health Officer Andy Miller said there are still no lab-confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Butte County. He said so far, 62 specimens sent for testing have come back negative, and 36 are still pending. He reminded the public that those numbers are only the tests public health knows about, as healthcare providers have also sent additional tests to commercial labs that are not required to report negative or pending specimens to the county. Miller said that even though there are not any confirmed cases yet,
it is possible that there are people in our community who have COVID-19, but who are not ill enough to seek care or to be tested.
He then thanked the North Valley Community Foundation, which earlier this week donated $250,000 to the County Health Department that will be spent on lab materials for testing.
The time frame to be up and running with testing in Butte County is dependent on the availability of this equipment, and as you can imagine, there is much demand. The absolute soonest testing would be in place would be in 1 month, but there are no guarantees.
Sheriff Corey Honey, who is no stranger to crisis management, called on residents to heed the orders and advice from the county in order to prevent further spread of the virus and strain on medical services in the county. Honey called for unity in the face of adversity, saying, while past crises in Butte County offered little time to get ready, this one does.
My message to everybody is we need you to work with us. We need voluntary compliance. We are all in this together. We are in the best position when we work together. This is not a time to panic. This is a time to prepare.
An update was given by Butte County Office of Education Superintendent Mary Sakuma that all Butte County schools have closed through Friday, April 17th, but she said the date is circumstantial.
The big question on everyone's mind is how long will school closures last? And the candid answer is that we aren't sure. As the tentative end of the closure, April 17th, draws closer, we will reassess the parameters of our decision. But be assured, we will not reopen schools unless we are sure that we can provide a safe and healthy learning environment for our students and staff.
According to Sakuma, there are 26 schools across the county that will serve grab-and-go meals to any student under 18 throughout the closures. The press conference was streamed live via Facebook, and the county urged that residents seek local information about COVID-19 from their Facebook page, which will have their latest updates, as well as their website, buttecounty.net/public health. Shasta County Health and Human Services also held a public briefing earlier today. With me in the studio to talk about it is NSPR's Mark Albert, who was watching the briefing from the station. Mark, what were the biggest takeaways?
Well, officials seem to be really gathered around and working in a concerted effort in Shasta County. There's some really good news. The only patient that was confirmed positive has apparently fully recovered and is no longer being isolated. That is good news. Officials also said that the crisis is bringing out some of the worst in people, that pastors at two local churches have been hacked, and that unknown bad actors, possibly from overseas, have been contacting parishioners and requesting donations, claiming that another members of the congregation or some family in the congregation has tested positive for the COVID-19, and they're trying to shake people down. And apparently, unfortunately, some people already have fallen victim to this scam, and authorities were unclear how much money they were duped out of, but they said that it'd be on the lookout for any suspicious email, texts, or links coming from pastors claiming to be raising money on behalf of parishioners.
So this is a time for people to watch out for scams.
Yes, very much so. One of the other major issues brought up was the question about a shelter-in-place order, and the public was told that that's a decision that is up to the Board of Supervisors and that no decision has been made at this time.
So in Shasta County, no shelter-in-place right now, and I know that's the same for Butte County.
That's correct, and throughout the region.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was NSPR's Mark Albert speaking about a press briefing earlier from Shasta County Health and Human Services, which is doing live briefings daily at 11 a.m. on their Facebook page. You're listening to special coverage about the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. More just ahead.
Thank you.
This is special coverage from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. All this week, the message from California Governor Gavin Newsom for those 65 and older has been stay home. The reason is that we don't know who does and who doesn't have the virus at this point. It's very possible that people in our community have it, and some may not be showing symptoms. And seniors are at a high risk for dying from this disease if they contract it. Today, we'll hear from CalMatters healthcare reporter Anna Ibarra and economy reporter Judy Lin, who spoke with Kim McCoy-Wade, the director of California's Department of Aging, about what seniors can do to protect themselves during the coronavirus pandemic.
One of the most common questions we received was, you know, what exactly does self-isolation mean? People want to know if they can go to the grocery store, if they can go out for a walk. Maybe we can start there, Kim.
Absolutely. And thank you again. One of the most important things we can do is be communicating frequently and in all kinds of channels. This is a very serious situation and it's a very fluid situation. So I'm really glad for this opportunity to dialogue with you and your readers or listeners today. So yes, what does it mean to be isolating at home? What does it mean to remain at home? And to answer your first two questions, can I go to the grocery store? Can I walk? The short answer is yes, but it's not that simple. Let's talk about it. In general, yes, if you are higher risk, you should be staying at home as much as possible. And those of us in the Bay Area and Sacramento, all of us should be staying at home. We're all in this together. The exception, of course, is for essential activities, which includes food, which includes medicine, which includes exercise. Those are essential activities. But here's where the work really is. Can you get that essential service and still stay at home? So what we're all about right now is moving services to the telephone, to the internet, by mail, by neighbors. Let me get real concrete. So can you do your medical appointment over the phone with your doctor? Can you have your groceries delivered? Can your lunch that you used to eat at the senior center now be delivered or be pick up to go by a neighbor? Can you get your prescription in the mail? That's the work we all need to be doing, is moving as much of our essential services. And I want to be clear, internet's not going to work for everybody. Internet's not going to take care of every service. So the other thing we really need all of us to do is know your five. Who are your five people? Your friend, your family, your neighbor, the person you don't know yet, who's going to be one of your five, who you're going to offer help and who you could reach out for help. We're all going to be in both of those boats. And so really lining up people who can pick up those groceries, who could pick up that prescription and do that. Now, if you have tried all those things to think about other ways and got help to get that essential, then you're going to need to go out to get your food or to get that critical medical appointment. And that's when those common sense precautions come in. One, the physical distancing, right? We've all heard this now, stay several feet away. And two, the personal protections about hand washing, not touching surfaces, covering your cough, all of those issues. But that's the last step after you have really tried to minimize anything but essential travel, and then try to invent these new ways of being, which again is a particular challenge for some of us who are older to move all these things to telephone and online.
Kim, are there times of days when you would advise people to get those things done?
You know, this is a live question right now, as many grocery stores are moving to that first hour. And the idea being that hopefully it would be less crowded, so physical distancing, and it would be cleaner and more sanitary. I think we're all really looking at that from a public health perspective. It's not as good as staying at home. It's not as good as staying at home, but people need to eat. And so I think we're all, as a state, as communities, as families, as neighbors, we're trying to make those decisions every day.
And Kim, you talked about food delivery and delivery for medication. Is the state doing anything to help out with that? Where do we stand on that?
Yeah, so there are existing programs that do meal service, of course, whether it's your food bank or you might have heard of Meals on Wheels or senior centers, and all of our programs are moving to issue as much flexibility as possible. The feds have been great partners. We have been working overtime. I should have mentioned from the beginning, you can get general information, of course, at a brand new state website, covid19.ca.gov. But there's also a website that has specific provider information. So whatever senior program you're running or disability program you're running, home care program, almost daily, new flexibilities are coming out. In my department, we partner with local adult day centers, where a lot of folks who live at home as they age go during the day for socialization and nutrition and physical therapy. And those centers are moving as fast as they can to convert those services to telephonic. So that's a whole new flexibility. It's a whole new different way of delivering service. There'll probably still have to be some home visits for people with particular severe health needs. So working all that out is requiring just significant flexibility at the federal, state, and local level. And we're all working very hard and very quickly to make that happen so the services continue even amidst this public health situation.
And Kim, the governor, you know, he's been great about offering daily updates. And in one of them, I recall, he said he would provide, or the state would be providing more guidance for seniors, or whether it's through the agency. Do you have an expectation on when that more details might come out?
Well, I think there's a couple ways to answer that. So again, program details are coming out all the time. Our largest program as a state is the in-home supportive services, IHSS program, and guidance came out recently on that. We've put out multiple guidance to our food program providers. So guidance continues to roll. I think coming up a level, we're really working not just to change the current programs, but to change the current environment for all of us who are going to be isolating at home. So communication is huge, more information, and not just on the internet. Many of us don't have access to the internet reliably, so in all channels. We're also really looking at check-ins. Check-ins are going to be incredibly important, that we're all checking in. And again, not just the current programs and government staff, but neighbor to neighbor. How are we checking in with each other? How are we making sure food and other basic needs are being met? And then check-in is only the first step. The second step is connecting to that resources. If you do check in and someone does need help, whether that's food or a ride to the doctor or something, right now, the best answer is, of course, call the line you would always call in your community. Call your 211 or your county social services or your food bank. And we're working very closely with them to try to expand the capacity. Of course, more calls are coming in, more requests for help is coming in. And so that's what we're doing, is both changing the system to meet this new public health reality, and then expanding the system to meet anticipated new needs over the next weeks and months, as you indicated earlier.
And so a lot of the questions we received were from seniors who still work. So I know the guidance itself did make some exemptions for healthcare workers, so which is significant, right? Because we know that one in like a third of our state's physicians are 60 and over, so we need them. But what about people who work, for example, like at a grocery store? You know, those are still open and people need their wages. So what is kind of the recommendation for those people who still have to go out and work, but they're, you know, seniors?
This is, again, this risk decision tree that we're all going to be on. It's best if we can all stay home. But as you said, there are essential services to be provided and there are economic needs. And so we are urging people to stay home if they can at all. If you're an essential service, that's a different determination than if your work is not. And again, you know, many of us can telework. Look at us all here. Some jobs don't lend themselves to that. So that's a challenge. And that we're trying to respond to that with aggressive support for unemployment, for paid family leave, for other economic supports. You see the extension of SNAP, CalFresh reporting deadlines. You see lots of things trying to bolster the economic side so that people aren't forced into those terrible choices between their economic health and their physical health. And we are urging people to put their physical health first and foremost, but don't want to minimize at all what that means for people jeopardizing income that they need for basic needs. You see it also in the protections, the governor's direction to protect, try to protect against evictions and just try to slow that, recognizing people's incomes are really going to be falling. We were hearing from other elders yesterday who were talking, reminding us that if they're home all the time, their utility bills are going to go up. So there's more for us to think about what it means to be at home more with either fixed income or less income coming in. It's quite serious.
And Kim, I don't know if you would have an answer for this, but one of the questions we did receive that I thought was interesting was on the note of jobs. You know, there are nurses who are still on the job at 65 and older. And one of the questions we received was can they refuse, you know, given the kind of they're being in a high risk group, can they refuse to treat a patient or COVID-19 patients? I know from my reporting, there were some hospitals where nurses said that they had some sort of volunteer list so that, you know, they would kind of protect some of the workers who may be in these high risk groups or maybe go home to people who are in this high risk group. So they had kind of a volunteer list going. But I'm wondering if we know if there's any sort of, you know, permission that allows nurses who are in a high risk group to, you know, refuse to treat a COVID-19 patient.
I think your reporting is spot on that people are making these decisions and determinations and setting up systems and triaging as we speak, that those kinds of needs between workforce and a service provided are playing out in real time. And so that's where we are. And I think, you know, the state's trying to provide flexibility in regulation as well as clarity in public health guidance. And of course, there's state public health and local public health guidance, as well as, of course, our CDC colleagues. So that's one of many difficult decisions that's being worked through by healthcare systems, by healthcare professionals, by families.
And Kim, I want to move back into the House, you know, whether it's the affordable housing crisis or for whatever reason, families having multiple generations in the house. For those seniors who are living in that situation, in that dynamic with younger kids, what sort of guidance would you provide for them? You know, do you quarantine grandma here? I mean, or is it okay to be together?
The public health guidance really is to isolate people at risk, whether it's the underlying health condition or older adults, even within the home. That is the guidance. And children do, best we can tell from the science, that children do present a risk to other people who are higher risk. And so that is the public health guidance. And I know families all across the state are struggling to make sense of that and to put it into practical practice. And so, yes, ideally, yes. If your housing allows it, the healthcare, the health status of everybody allows it. But again, people are going to have to, can you completely limit contact? Is it essential that you have some contact? Then make double sure that you're practicing all those public health precautions, that the hand washing, the surfaces, the coughing, which can be hard for little kids, right? But this is really a time to, the best thing you can do for your grandparents is to give them a call, is to help them set up FaceTime and Skype if you have those resources. We're going to, just like the schools are going to be closed for weeks and months, we're going to be in this for weeks and months is our best prediction right now. So take the time to set up that home delivery of grocery, that mail prescription, that Skype account. Get set up for a lot more independent living at home, but we hope deeply, deeply connected and supported living at home.
And, you know, as we brace for that self-isolation, you know, there are emotional things that come up. I mean, there could be the blues, there could be depression, there could be a lot more mental anxieties associated with it. So do you have any advice for coping for seniors?
So again, get your list of five, make sure you talk to them. Talk to them, chat them, call them, whatever it is, at least every day so that you are having that. I just texted my parents a picture of their grandchildren myself. So do that every single day, at least. But I think we were talking to some community groups who are not just delivering food. They're going to be delivering craft projects with that food. I know there are national hotlines, whether it's Alzheimer's, folks with dementia may be experiencing a particular anxiety, which is particularly challenging for families and caregivers to manage. Call the National Alzheimer's Hotline for support. So I think those are the kind of resources we're trying to gather, the grassroots to the hotline, family to people you don't know. We're hoping that all those I talked to a pastor who was calling every single person in his directory to see how they were doing and match them with someone else in the directory. I think you're going to see all kinds of initiatives like that. We've been, lots of people have been wondering if all the college students who are now home and tele-learning would be willing and able to step up in new ways and partner and be part of these neighbor-to-neighbor teams. So I think we're all, and I've been in contact with technology companies who want to help us build these nimble platforms to make those matches. And of course, we got to be safe doing that too, right? But we want to make, the point is we all need to get connected, and we need to get connected to new people, and we need to get connected in new ways to our current people, and just commit to that daily, daily interaction. You know, if you've got folks in your life, there's who will watch the dance class being taught by Debbie Allen on YouTube, that's great. But we've got to kind of keep thinking. I'm trying to convince someone in my life to get her book club, to be on Zoom. We're going to really have to be mindful of all those things. And especially for folks, you know, that, those, some of those things may seem more plausible for 60 and 70 than 80, 90 and 100. So we've got to be really thinking about the whole span of old age. Old age is not one age. Old age is many ages. And of course, broadband and technology, we still have a huge digital gap. So I don't want to be naive about those solutions. They will work for some, but we're going to have to be more creative and collaborative to make sure we reach all Californians. I'm just going to say again, stay connected, stay connected, stay connected, stay connected. I you know, the official public health term is social isolation, and it just, I don't like it. I know they mean physical isolation, and we have to do it, and we have to follow our public health direction, but it is now, Dr. Ross at the California Endowment has been very clear on this about how we can't let ourselves become isolated as we're isolating. We have to be in this together. So I just, if you do nothing else besides stay home and wash your hands, please, please, please reach out to an elder in your life that you know, or maybe one that you don't know and should get to know. And if you are older or otherwise at risk, please reach out to other folks and just let them know how you're doing. Could be a good day, but let them know too. Get those connections going. We're going to be relying on those and building those and growing those more in days to come. So again, we're all in this together. Yes, some of us are at more risk, but we're all in this together, and that's how we're going to get through. So that's the key.
That was CalMatters healthcare reporter Anna Ibarra and economy reporter Judy Lin speaking with Kim McCoy-Wade, the director of California's Department of Aging, about what seniors can do to protect themselves during the coronavirus pandemic. You can find the link to the full conversation at mynspr.org. For more news from CalMatters, go to calmatters.org/coronavirus. Are you doing anything to help seniors or others in your community? If so, we want to know about it. We're compiling a list of resources for people, and we've set up a number where you can call and record your story. Let us know what you're doing. The number is 530-433-9216. That's 530-433-9216. And that's our program for Thursday, March 19th, 2020. Tonight's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, and Phil Wilkie. Our engineer is Matt Fidler. Special thanks to CalMatters. Thank you for being with us. I'm Sarah Bohannon, and this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. We're back tomorrow evening at 6:30. Until then, take care of each other and stay connected.